Bad Kansas is a collection of short stories full of just one uncomfortable, conflicted relationship after another.
I'm glad you picked up on one of the major themes. I feel like it's more about bad relationships that just happen to happen in Kansas than anything about Kansas necessarily. So yeah, I think I was writing this book at a time when I was, you know, leaving a lot of friends. And I had just ended a relationship that was really important to me and moving away from family. So I think I was just really thinking about the ways that people split apart or come together and how location can play into that. Yeah, it's funny because when I was in the middle of writing this, this was my graduate thesis. And right before I had to defend my thesis, a visiting professor where I went to grad school, she asked me what the stories were about. And I kind of froze because I hadn't been tasked with really coming up with anything like that yet. And I was just paralyzed until I realized it was about terrible men in Kansas, pretty much.
That's a good description. Like I said, it seemed to me like just one uncomfortable relationship after another. Weaving through all of those stories, though, is Kansas. Talk to me about the sense of place that you evoke in your stories.
Yeah. Like I said, I wrote this right after moving from Kansas. Some of them I started while I was actually still living in Lawrence, on the brink of leaving. I think two or three of the stories in here I started the year after I graduated from KU. And then the rest I wrote when I was in graduate school in California, really homesick for Kansas. So I think Kansas was just on my mind, and it was the only place I'd ever known. And yeah, I was just like obsessively thinking about it and talking about it with people from California. And I just kind of, you know, when I sat down to write my stories in grad school, they're, you know, I didn't know where else to place them other than home. And yeah, I was just sort of thinking about it a lot at that point in my life.
One of your stories is about a young woman who travels from Kansas out to California, and she's so uncomfortable there. And at one point, a friend she meets says, "Oh, of course, you're homesick." And she says, "No, it's not that I'm homesick. It's just I'm not Californian."
Yeah, that sums up my feelings of moving to California expertly. It was strange being in California because everyone in California is so obsessed with California. They're like, "Oh, welcome to paradise. You're from Kansas. You're going to love it here." And, you know, I talked about Kansas all the time to my California friends, and they were like, "Oh, you're homesick. You're homesick." And I was so resistant to that. I was like, "No, I'm not for Kansas. Like, I am in California." And then I realized it wasn't just that I didn't like California. It's that I was missing home a lot.
Mm. Talk to me about the story, The House on Alabama Street. It's a story set in Lawrence, again, on the tales of a failed relationship.
Yeah. So that story had its origins. One of my friends in graduate school, his name was Jacob, and I joked at the beginning of school that he would, you know, he would tell me all these, like, weird stories from his life, and I joked that I was going to write all of my stories about him in some capacity. And so he was living in this house with this woman who had just gotten divorced, and she was middle-aged, and he would talk about how she would, you know, corner him and talk to him late at night. And I just developed this whole imaginary scenario in which she was trying to seduce him because she was lonely. So that story, it's a blend of that. And right before graduate school, I worked in Grand Teton National Park. And I met a guy out there, and it was just a total summer park seasonal work fling. And I just kept thinking, he was like, "Oh, maybe I could come, you know, and live with you in California when you're in grad school." And I was like, that is just, you know.
Maybe not.
Yeah, so that story sort of was a blend of those situations playing out.
Can I get you to read an excerpt from that story?
Okay. "The streets in town were named after states, in order of when they'd been admitted to the Union. It seemed a betrayal to Cliff, as if the town's residents secretly dreamed of living somewhere other than Kansas, a desolate state filled with desolate people."
Is that how you found Lawrence? Because elsewhere in your writing, I believe that it's Cliff that says, the people here do seem nice.
Yeah. I just try to, in that story, I was trying to kind of embody some of the reactions to Kansas that I'd been encountering in my friends in California. And I think it would be hard for someone not from Kansas to come here and not see the magic right away. So that was sort of what I was playing with him.
How are the stories in Bad Kansas like or unlike other writing that you've done?
Yeah, I was just talking to someone about this. These stories are, a lot of them have been workshopped and revised over and over and over again and really kind of tailored down. And a lot of my work outside of these stories is, I think, quirkier, or some of them have a magical element, or they're more humor-based. I feel like I get more experimental than these stories are. These stories feel very neat and tidy in a way that some of my stuff outside of them doesn't.
Talk to me about writing in the short story form. Why does that work for you?
I love short stories because you can focus on the sentence level. And every word, you know, you can just get so obsessive about a word and an image, or just the way, you know, a sentence flows into the next one. And I'm working on a novel right now, and that it's hard because that obsession just makes everything so slow and meticulous. And yeah, in a short story, you know you have to do it because every sentence is so important. Whereas in a novel, you know, there's so much material to work with that it's more about, you know, narrative drive and making sure that the whole thing sort of sticks together. Whereas the story, you know, you can, it's just like this tiny little delicate chocolate that you get to mess with rather than this big tiered cake.
Tell me about the title Bad Kansas. Any fears that it's discouraging Kansans from picking up the book?
Yeah, I think a lot of people have a very strong reaction to it. Some people really like it, and other people are like, oh, it's not about Kansas being bad necessarily. But I like the punchiness to it. A friend of mine actually came up with it, and then it kind of stuck in my head.
I think it's a great title.
Thanks.
Because you know from the beginning, these are not going to be happy little stories that are tied up with a ribbon.
Yeah. I wanted them to kind of share the experience of Kansas that I've had, where everything isn't, you know, polite and vanilla. It's very gritty and quirky and, yeah, strange.
With that in mind, and I realize that you're not responsible for the book cover, talk to me about the jacket, because I feel like that, it's so arresting.
Yeah, it's very weird. I wrote them, so University of Georgia Press asked me what kind of cover I had in mind, or if I had anything I was thinking of, and I sent them like this long, like, two-page explanation of like, oh, you know, I want it to be kind of weird, but I want it to have something to do with, you know, the prairie and the openness of Kansas, but have strange, like a strange element with it. And they kind of nailed it on the head. It wasn't what I was imagining at all, but then again, I have no idea what I was imagining.
So describe it for our listeners.
I like to think of it as sort of the view from inside of a car, and you're driving down a country road somewhere in Kansas, probably more towards the middle or western side because it's pretty flat, and there's a blue sky, and then there is just a very large grasshopper sort of clinging to the windshield, and he's got some pretty striking feet and antennas, so I think he's pretty cute.
I think it's pretty disturbing, but again, that kind of captures the whole quirkiness of this book and the kind of unsettled feel of a lot of your stories.
Yeah, I came up with a whole metaphorical explanation of someone looking out onto the prairie, and then there's this like graphic, disturbing thing sort of hitting them in the nose.
Becky, can I have you read another excerpt from your book, Bad Kansas?
Yes, sure. I'm going to read from a story called Bald Bear. It's the last story in the book, and I'm just going to read from the beginning. And this was actually one of the stories that I started when I was still living in Lawrence. It was understood that Maxine and I were waiting for men. It was the dead center of July, and the Kansas sun was poised like the face of a hammer, ready to strike. In the lake, diapers surfaced jellyfish style, and children, war-painted with sunscreen, pressed bottle caps to their ears, listening for an ocean they'd likely never seen. Maxine and I started rubbing sunscreen onto each other. There was nothing sorority girl about it. For the type of girls we were, both from hardy Irish stock, our bodies like two peeled potatoes, the application of sunscreen was more of a medical procedure than anything else. Maxine was working on my shoulders when a pair of men appeared before us, one holding a fishing pole, the other a hot dog. We were familiar with their kind, late 20-somethings who wore cutoffs and toted red Playmate coolers filled with hams. They came to the lake to drink and fish and sneak glances at girls in bikinis. The fisherman's fly was down, and he was severely sunburned on his cheeks and nose, as if someone had taken a frying pan to his face. The hot dog eater was better, tall and tanned with a lumberjack beard. He was attractive, genuinely attractive, and seemed completely unaware of it. "How we doing, ladies?" the fisherman asked, speaking through a cheek of chew. Either something blew into the hot dog eater's eye, or he winked at me. "Perfectly fine," I said, half wanting them to go away. I could foresee the whole thing. The hot dog eater would go for Maxine, who was objectively prettier and funnier than me, and I'd be stuck with the fisherman. "Can we help you?" "We just wanted to come by and invite you to a barbecue," the fisherman said. He tilted his head toward the parking lot, where a group of people were gathered around a charcoal grill. I was hungry and bored and had a deep love for barbecues, but I wasn't about to accept an invitation from strangers. Luckily, Maxine had an inherent affection for strangers, yet another quality that drew men to her. She once drove all the way to Aspen with a guy she met in a yoga class. She invited me along, but I told her we'd both end up dead in a ditch. As it turned out, the guy was related to a famous screenwriter, and the three of them, Maxine, the guy, the screenwriter, spent the weekend drinking cognac in an outdoor hot tub. She hadn't even had to kiss anyone. "Actually, I'm starving," Maxine told the fisherman, and began to gather her things. She looked at me, eyebrows raised. "You coming?" Not wanting to be alone, I put on most of my clothes and followed her to the parking lot.
That's Becky Mandelbaum reading from Bad Kansas. Becky, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.